The Tom Woods Show, episode 2088.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, I don't know about you, but I am running into a lot of progressives saying, look, police, fire, schools, these are all great examples of socialism. Well, let's focus on that school example. I've got a free ebook called Education Without the State that makes a pretty darn good case for a stateless approach to education. Pick it up at nostateeducation.com. Hey, everybody, Tom Woods here. I'm going to do something a little bit unusual today. I want to play you, with my comments interspersed, a roughly 10-minute clip by Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now, you may know who she is. She's a member of the U.S. Congress out of Georgia. And I'll tell you something, I actually don't know that much about her. I know she's controversial, so I assume that she has opinions about January 6th, possibly about the 2020 election, and certainly about Donald Trump that are out of the mainstream. That could well be that I assume that's what she's about, but honestly, I don't know. I haven't investigated her very much. I just know a handful of things. I know she's controversial. I just haven't had time to look into her. I know much more about AOC because AOC's been around forever and she's always in the headlines getting favorable press. Green does not have the same, get the same reaction from the media, to put it mildly. If you type her name in to Google or to any search engine at any particular time, you will find all the top news stories are all attacks on her. AOC has never, ever endured anything like this. So right away, I'm curious about somebody like that. If the media absolutely despises somebody, doesn't always mean that person's a good person, but 80 to 90% of the time it does. So the only time I've ever actually sat down and listened to her speak was for this 10-minute clip I'm about to play for you. And when you hear it, you'll see why it is. And in case you don't see why it is that I'm playing it, I will give you the sledgehammer version in my comments. So this was delivered just this week. So I'm recording this March 18th, 2022. And this was delivered just a matter of a day or so ago. So let's begin, hear the first roughly minute of it.
This morning, President Zelensky addressed the United States Congress, asking us to defend his country against Vladimir Putin. Turn on the television, no matter which network or news program you tune into, you will hear the same ominous sound in the background, the drumbeat of war. We're told that we have an urgent moral responsibility to send money and munitions to a country 6,000 miles away, a country that just coincidentally Joe Biden has business interests in, as do many other people. When we invaded Iraq on the pretext of looking for weapons of mass destruction, over 4,500 civilians were killed in just the first few days. We became embroiled in nearly 20 years of pointless war. It's time for a more level-headed approach to foreign engagements from America's elites. And time we loosen the military-industrial complex's stranglehold on our politicians and our policymaking.
All right, well, that 1 minute is almost better than anything I've ever heard from the D.C. libertarian establishment. I've never heard anything as good as that from a Beltway libertarian. Just that bold and bluntly stated. Now, I don't know, maybe there's a handful. But I can think of people right now who are criticizing Ron Paul for being against NATO, people who really think they're libertarians, who would never, ever speak this way. And yet there she is saying that the weapons of mass destruction thing was a mere pretext for war. So excellent. I mean, amazing to hear somebody on the right wing speak this way. This is becoming more and more common. This is a great thing. I mean, libertarians should be happy about this. I know Marjorie Taylor Greene is not popular. You're not going to win any points in, you know, at DC cocktail parties by having a kind word for her. But see, I don't care about that stuff. So I think that's all juvenile. So I listen to this and I say, well, this is something very good, that all libertarians should be dancing a jig when they hear something like this, instead of just sticking up their noses because they're too sophisticated for somebody like this, because they're against Donald Trump and blah, 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 blah. Okay, Donald Trump's been gone for a year and a half. Time to talk about other things now. And this is great stuff here. She talks about 20 years of pointless war. She talks about the military-industrial complex. She talks about a foreign policy elite that has failed and that we can't have a free discussion about our policies, that it's just a monologue more than a free discussion, and that the military-industrial complex has a stranglehold on it. Wow. Amazing. I would love to hear establishment libertarians talk this way. They won't, but it'd be nice to hear. All right, let's listen a little bit more.
There is no doubt that Putin's actions in Ukraine are despicable and evil. We weep when we see images of men, women, and children wounded or killed. We regret any human suffering and we mourn any loss of human life. But we cannot and we must not allow our compassion to blind us to reason and common sense. Because this won't be like any entanglement America has ever entered into before. A potential war with Russia is not comparable to Iraq or Afghanistan. This is an 8-year-long smoldering conflict in which peace agreements have been routinely violated by both sides. It concerns a country in which Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, and Mitt Romney have direct financial interest. A country which government only exists because of the Obama State Department helped to overthrow the previous regime.
Again, excellent. Talking about the Obama administration overthrowing a regime there? Well, that's kind of important to understanding the situation, isn't it? And for her to make clear to people that what you're calling for, even if people say, well, I'm not calling for a hot war with Russia, but yeah, but that's what a no-fly zone, which is what Zelensky is asking for, would lead to. Because it would mean you have to shoot down Russian planes. And that means you would wind up with World War III. So it is important for people to recognize that although it's fun on social media to flex your muscle and tell everybody what a tough guy you are, you realize that the welfare of the world hangs in the balance. So we have to like put our laptops down and try to act like something other than, you know, an 8-year-old and think through like adults what the best way forward is. All right, let's continue.
The ugly truth is that America is in no shape to throw herself into another foreign conflict. Under Joe Biden, America's economy is weak and dependent on foreign nations for goods and even for energy. And the more we involve ourselves in this foreign mess, the more we force our enemies and frenemies together, playing right into China's hands. Every move the Biden administration has made has hurt Americans and helped Putin. Our former allies are looking at us and wondering if we've gone mad. Just this week, Saudi Arabia, whose leaders won't even take a call from Joe Biden, indicated that they may be open to selling petrochemicals to the Chinese in their currency instead of U.S. dollars. It is impossible to overstate the consequences to America if the dollar loses its position as the preeminent international medium of exchange. Two competing global currencies will devastate our economy. We will have no power to prevent the worldwide famines that will surely follow sanctions that prevent Russia from exporting fertilizer, grains, and energy. If the petrodollar is eliminated as a result of Biden's incompetence, life as we know it in America will be over forever. The dollar will collapse. We will no longer control the undisputed world currency. Our economy will surely collapse thereafter under the massive debt administration after administration have so irresponsibly created.
Okay, now here there's some of the stuff that I don't like about this wing of conservatism or whatever you want to call it. The stuff about China and the implications about autarky and trade don't thrill me. But her point about the petrodollar is not misplaced. In fact, I will link at tomwoods.com/2088 to a pretty good article on that. The gist of it is that the deal that has existed for, geez, I don't know, I guess going on 50 years now, has been something like this, that the United States buys Saudi oil and gives the Saudis the military equipment that they want. The Saudis then support the wild spending of the U.S. government by taking billions of dollars of their petrodollar revenue and just dump it back into U.S. treasuries, which is the way that crazy wild U.S. spending is supported. So if the scenarios that Marjorie Taylor Greene is describing in this clip here were to come to pass, there would be pretty serious economic consequences for the U.S. Certainly, there would be higher interest rates, and that, of course, means a problem for the U.S. government in terms of financing its own debt. Then if the Fed tries to bring interest rates back down, then the activities that it engages in order to do that would generate further price inflation. So there are pretty bad outcomes all around here. And it's also interesting that she at least makes some mention of unintended bad consequences of sanctions on Russia. All right, let's continue.
When my constituents from Georgia call into my office here in Washington, D.C., there is only one thing on their minds. Hardworking Americans living paycheck to paycheck don't care about foreign wars or foreign borders. They care about gas prices back home. They care about runaway inflation and the fact that a used car or truck costs 40% more today than it did last year. When President Zelensky asked America to enforce a no-fly zone above Ukraine, we should be clear and honest about what that means. He is asking America to shoot down Russian planes. It means war. It means more dead Americans and more billions of dollars spent on another foreign entanglement that the American people do not want and which we cannot afford. It means Vladimir Putin backed into a corner, his finger hovering over the nuclear button. It means World War III. And what is the White House doing as the world slides dangerously close to devastating world war? Paying off TikTok influencers to lie for them, more concerned with favorable headlines from the Washington Post and the New York Times than avoiding world war, more concerned with social media likes than protecting American jobs and families?
Again, this is absolutely excellent that the average person has his own concerns. And you can't right every wrong in the world. And I'll just add as my own commentary, this is pretty much the unanimous view of all moral theologians as well, that you have a series of concentric circles of concern of decreasing urgency as you move away, as the circles move farther away from you. By the time you get halfway around the world, it's dissipated completely. You can send your well wishes, you can do whatever you personally want to do, but your immediate responsibility is to your own household, to your own immediate surroundings, the people you're close to, the people you have some connection to. And generally, that's going to keep you pretty busy. The problems you're going to encounter just in those circles are going to keep you pretty busy. And that's why most people are indeed concerned about prices rising and being able to pay their bills. And of course, there are so many tragedies in the world, we can't even count them. You can't even count them. Forget about Ukraine. Suppose that weren't even going on. There'd be the same number of tragedies, just minus one. And they're all over the world. And there's only so much that any one person or one society can do. It's a miracle enough if you can have a functioning society that works and in which people can lead good, fulfilling lives. The genuine conservative, and I think even as a libertarian, my instincts, of course, are conservative because libertarianism only says, don't initiate aggression. It doesn't answer any other question. Just don't initiate aggression. So you have to have some philosophy for the rest of your life because your entire life is not don't initiate aggression. There are other things that you might value in life. And I have conservative instincts. And the conservative instinct is focused primarily on hearth and home. That, remember, we go not abroad in search of monsters to destroy. As Henry Clay and others said, what we'll wind up doing is just extinguishing the light we have here that is supposed to be a light to the world. And we're going to extinguish that if we go around trying to right every wrong. We can't. It's not possible. Can't be done. What you can wind up doing is make things an awful lot worse. And here she is spelling out, Marjorie Taylor Greene, spelling out what it would mean to have the no-fly zone or to have an actual conflict with Russia. Genuinely, the world and civilization itself hang in the balance here. Let's go on.
I will not vote to spend hard-earned American tax dollars in foreign nations when people are hurting back home. When my constituents are telling me that they want reassurance on gas prices, inflation, and our own southern border. The plain truth is that Ukraine cannot join NATO, and we can only defend NATO nations. We win when America is strong, and so does the rest of the world. We win when we put America first and globalism last. President Biden may be barking and waving a stick, but no one is afraid. Our enemies know that he lacks both the will and the ability to see through his saber rattling. Biden's sanctions aren't working. They're just pushing Russia even closer to China. Russia has made $117.5 billion oil and gas deal with President Xi. Intelligent observers know that sanctions almost never work in the real world. They didn't work in Cuba, North Korea, or Iran. They're not working now. Instead, sanctions act merely as a precursor to war, a sign of battle lines being drawn.
This is also excellent. What she just said about sanctions is absolutely right. Murray Rothbard said sanctions are simply the cowards and the babblers' halfway house to war. There was a great episode of the Human Action podcast on this exact topic that I'll link you to at tomwoods.com/2088. Let's continue.
If we truly care about suffering and death on our television screens, we cannot fund more of it by sending money and weaponry to Ukraine to fight a war they cannot possibly win. The only effect of more arms and more money from America will be to prolong the war and magnify human suffering. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be responsible for creating even more refugees and orphans in an already traumatized and dysfunctional world.
Well, I can't believe she had the guts to say that, because that is exactly correct. That is exactly correct, that everybody deep down knows, but almost nobody wants to say. Hey, all you privacy people out there, if you've ever wanted to be nearly invisible online, IPVanish VPN is here to do that for you. If you're tired of feeling like somebody's always watching you on the internet, or maybe advertisers know a little bit more about you than you'd like them to, or you're just concerned about the privacy of your identity, well, incognito mode isn't going to solve your problem. You need IPVanish VPN. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet without exposing your private details to third parties like hackers, your ISP, or advertisers. And by the way, you can use IPVanish on your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. When you use IPVanish, all your data is encrypted. So this means your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing your speed. They're offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you watch, everything you search for, everything you buy. Go to ipvanish.com/woods and use promotional code WOODS and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/woods. All right, let's continue.
Under the Biden regime, America can't even get a grip on the illegal invasion at our own southern border. Biden's omnibus bill contains $14 billion for Ukraine, but not a dollar for our own border, across which deadly Chinese fentanyl pours every single day. Yet America's citizens are being expected to fund and arm troops resisting an invasion halfway across the world. This is madness. It cannot be allowed. The truth is that under Biden, America is no longer in charge on the world stage. Our friends and enemies alike see this once great nation led by a weak, dementia-ridden fossil in the White House. They know, just as we know, that his failures have led us directly to this point. Joe Biden's weakness and his string of unforced errors paved the way for Putin's invasion of Ukraine. Now his dangerous negligence and Hunter's shady business dealings risk dragging America into World War III. We cannot allow it. Cooler heads must prevail. Joe Biden created the conditions for Putin's invasion into Ukraine when he lifted the sanctions on Nord Stream a year ago. So we began this process from a position of weakness. We can end it in strength, but not by providing guns or cash. We can end in strength by providing a negotiating table. We have to show our allies that we have the ability, the wherewithal, to be able to negotiate something like this. our nation can start to repair its tattered international reputation and protect its own citizens by bringing Presidents Zelensky and Putin to the negotiating table and fulfilling America's promise as an arbiter of peace.
Now, how about that? That's somebody on the quote-unquote extreme right wing saying that the thing we need to do is negotiate and bring the parties to the negotiating table, which is, of course, not on the radar screen of the left wing at all. I mean, I suppose you have the dissident left wing, which is like the dissident right wing, a very small, demoralized group of people, although the dissident right wing is growing all the time, which is very encouraging because most of what they say is spot on. And the things where they're wrong, we can teach them. Jeez, but they have the guts to stand up and say, cooler heads need to prevail in this situation when there's even more hysteria about this than there was about COVID. This takes real courage to stand up and say, I have a different opinion. And that what we need to be doing right now is talking this through, having a ceasefire, putting a stop to this, instead of all the wild plans of the laptop bombardiers. And this is the right-wing person? Again, libertarians should be dancing a jig that this is the direction the right wing is going in. This is fantastic. This is exactly what we wanted. So why would we not be happy? Well, we wouldn't be happy if, number one, it isn't really what we wanted, which I think for some libertarians, it isn't what they want. For some of them, they want to be respectable. They want to be for NATO. They want to be for this and that. They want to basically parrot the CIA line every day. So we have that. And secondly, we have libertarians who just hate the right wing for their own personal cultural reasons so much that they just can't stand the sight of them. So it doesn't matter how great they are on certain things. We just can't acknowledge any of it. I'm perfectly willing to acknowledge the great, truly great people on the dissident left wing. Glenn Greenwald is only one example, but there's a whole bunch of them I like and respect very much. And I promote them on Twitter. I talk about them. I'm capable of saying, hey, this person says something really, really smart and wise that we would do well to listen to, even if I disagree with other things this person says. You know, if only we could have more people who could think like that. All right, let's finish up and go all the way to the end.
It's not our responsibility to give President Zelensky and the Ukrainian people false hope about a war they cannot win. But given the Obama State Department and the Biden administration's interference in Ukraine over the years, we do now have a duty to help peacefully resolve the conflict by brokering peace talks and a successful, peaceful resolution. We can do all this without sending a dime and without shipping bombs to further inflame a war whose outcome already seems certain. We can do it without risking the dollar and therefore risking our economy, our jobs, and our homes. We must do it, I believe, as Christians, to prevent any more human suffering and death.
All right, and there it is. And you know what this reminds me of? Back in 2008, when John McCain got the Republican nomination, Ron Paul held his own event that he called the Rally for the Republic in, I can't remember which was which. One was in St. Paul, one was in Minneapolis. I think we were in Minneapolis, we the good guys. So one of the Twin Cities had the Republican convention and the other one had the Rally for the Republic. And Dr. Paul asked me, who's a good anti-war speaker I can bring in? I want to make sure we have a good anti-war speaker. So I said, of course, Bill Kaufman, one of the people you should know and maybe don't. But those of you who've been listening to me a long time will remember at least a couple of episodes I've had with Bill. I thought he gave the best speech of that day. It was absolutely fantastic from beginning to end. He is masterful with the English language. And I remember saying, you have to choose between Baghdad and your own backyard. And he said, McCain chose Baghdad. And what he really meant was the whole American foreign policy establishment chooses Baghdad, chooses Ukraine, chooses Kosovo, and on and on and on. But we choose our own backyards because our own backyards need tending to now more than ever. And it reveals something about the American establishment that all their attention is somewhere else. Always. It's always somewhere other than their own backyard. And speaking of your own backyard, some of you might be interested in this. Now, I personally, I'm not the live in the country kind of person. That doesn't work for me. But I know that a lot of people are more and more interested in that kind of thing. that it's time to exit the cities. It's time to go out and build something else, build a new society, build parallel institutions, build something. Instead of fighting and fighting and struggling over what's already there, maybe we go build something. We exit and build. So my friend John Bush, who's been on the show a few times, and a lot of you know him from, I met him, I guess, in 2007 from the first Ron Paul presidential campaign. I just spoke at Porkfest at his little gathering that he had. So I've known him forever. And when he's come on the show, he's come on to talk about all different topics because he's jumped headfirst into the libertarian world as much as anyone. But that's what his focus has been lately. So, you know, instead of our minds being transfixed by whatever's on the screens on CNN, we have to think about our own families and our own society and our own well-being. We're living in under a regime that hates our guts and that wants to make our lives impossible. And what are they doing? They're doing exactly that. Everything they do makes our lives impossible, whether it was the crazy mandates or the price inflation or demonizing us for our points of view or making it impossible to get our kids educated, except by our own hand, basically. All these and more. This is what they do 24 hours a day. And instead of sitting around complaining or thinking about some far-flung adventure we can involve ourselves in, how about thinking about building in your own backyard, building something so you don't lose your kids? How about that? So you don't lose your kids to this society. How about building something for yourselves and for your families? How about building something for yourself and your family? That's your primary concern. That's supposed to be your primary concern. It is so easy to get distracted by everything else, every tragedy in the world. And if you start getting distracted by tragedies, there's no end to it. There's no end. That's not to say you can't occasionally lend a hand to people who are very, very far from you, who need a hand. There's nothing wrong with that. Go ahead, knock yourself out. But primarily, your attention has got to be on those people who rely on you. You can go save one square inch of Ukraine through some effort of yours, but have all your children hate you because they listened to some CNN reporter who told them that you're terrible. Would you consider that a good trade-off? You got to think that way. So you should check this out. John is having a live event. You can go in person to it in Central Texas, or you can watch it virtually. And if you watch it virtually, you can watch for free. And they're going to talk about how to live free now, building or buying self-sufficient homesteads in peaceful, intentional communities with other liberty-minded people. If that has some appeal to you now, especially after everything we've endured, I would recommend that you check that out. As I say, you can go and network with folks, with like-minded people, and be there in person, or for free, you can just sit in the comfort of your home and watch a whole bunch of people, including Joel Skousen, who's somebody I'm featuring in my own program, who's an expert on strategic relocation, all kinds of interesting topics are going to be covered. So I put it up at tomwoods.com/exit because it's the Exit and Build Land Summit. So tomwoods.com/exit is where you can find a little bit more information about that, which I highly, highly recommend for people who have an interest in this. John's been putting a lot of thought into this for a long time, and the fruits of that will be evident to you. So anyway, that's what I have to say. I don't know anything else about Marjorie Taylor Greene. I know about that 10 minutes that we just listened to, and I would give it an A-, I would say. I'd say that is absolutely outstanding, and we should be thrilled that there is a wing of conservatism that's moving in that direction. And yet, that is the wing that official libertarianism hates the most. They still have an attraction to the Mitt Romney wing, because Mitt Romney's pretty respectable. You know, if we write articles about the wisdom of Mitt Romney, will get noticed more, you know, whereas, so we certainly can't support this woman. I have nothing in common with people like that. I have nothing in common with somebody who looks at our present situation and prefers Mitt Romney to what we just heard. Somebody like that is completely hopeless. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening to me talk about this little clip, and I'll see you all next week.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.